Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to be with you on this 28th day of May 2022. And we're going to be looking at a very, very, very difficult subject, mercy. We live in a merciless society. Business is war. Everything is war for us. Why do you think we're always involved in some crisis, either overseas or here in America? What do you think that really is all about? Well, basically, it is our karma. Yes, it is collectively. I want you to think about this. Just play with me on this subject. Think of the world you live in. Think of all the tragedies that are constantly there. The killing, the pillaging, let's say, the dishonesty, the whole thing. Think about the great awakened masters that we have had come to this world. The Buddha, who ran for his life constantly from his own family. Then there was, of course, Jesus and his crucifixion. Lhotse, the great author of the Tao, had to run away, had to escape his students, had to escape society. He was getting well known, and he was being threatened. Just think of Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King. Think in terms of the Kennedy boys and what they were trying to do at the end of their lives, yada, yada, yada. Think of all the greatness that has been here and how we have treated that greatness, that great beauty. Greg Penn has his four noble truths. They're not noble, and this is a tongue-in-cheek thing, so don't take it seriously. But realize the fact of the matter. The four noble truths of Greg Penn in this world are: nobody likes you anyway. No matter what you do, you're always going to be criticized, even if you have good intent. Number two, you can't teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. And people don't want to learn what they don't want to learn. They don't want to accept what they need to accept. They don't want to understand what they just simply refuse to understand. And Superman's great teaching, nothing good ever lasts long in this world. These are the things we go through in the course of this human world, this human life. And we make it very ugly for ourselves, and we say all these things, tongue-in-cheek, or at least I do, but they are facts. And if you really look at it, it's all due to the reason of no mercy. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy," he was talking about the very thing I am talking about, that we live in a very difficult, violent world. It's filled with people who have come from all sorts of places and incarnated here into this world to do their mischief. Just to do their mischief. And then there are those of us who have come into this world to, shall we say, accept our mischief and no longer do it, no longer carry it out, and begin a new life, a new opportunity, a new experience of breaking the chain of birth and death. And that's really what it's about, breaking the chain of birth and death. So mercy plays a very big role in all of this. It is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who has done something that is, shall we say, unkind. Let's just put it that way. An event to be grateful for, especially because its occurrence prevents something unpleasant or provides relief from suffering. These are the definitions. So let's look at some of the questions. I got a couple of them here. First question comes from Larry in Seattle. He says, How do I become merciful towards people that I hate? That I hate. His handwriting's a little, my recognition of his handwriting is a little iffy. but that's what he wrote. And he actually sat down and wrote a handwritten letter, which I thought was very admirable. I really did. I admired it. I don't get many handwritten ones. All right, let's get back to that. How do I become merciful to people I hate? Well, you're first going to have to resolve the state of your hate. In other words, why do you need to hate? Why is that an option? Now, hate, like so many things, is nothing more and nothing less than an impulse, an emotional impulse that we accept, that we compromise our whole life with, that we are impulsed to do. We don't even think about it. Hate just comes up. And hate is realized as a threat to our survival. So it has a lot to do with survival of the fittest, as Darwin talked about. And hate has to do a lot with the whole idea of accepting, aggrandizing, even, shall we say, loving the idea of something to hate. Human beings live in duality, mental duality, and it's due to our emotions. So where there is hate, there will be the idea of love. Where there is the idea of love, if you say, I love someone, you are also, without knowing it, strengthening your hate and actually setting up hate for it to be the next step. So when you say something like, when I used to perform weddings, you know, I love you, you're really saying this in the background. In a matter of time, as my biology starts to change and the endorphins change and my hormones change and my synapses fire off in a different way according to my genetic heritage and how I have lived with my genetic heritage, eventually I am going to either dislike you or even come to the point where I think I hate you. That's as far as it's going to go. And, you know, every marriage that I know of has had that. And people wonder why. So the person you're marrying out of what you think is love is the potential enemy and in line for some sort of hatred. Why? Because we live out of our body. We love out of our body. Everything is about our body. And as long as I take the hormones and the, shall we say, the chemicals of my body and make them the impulse of my life, and we do it unconsciously. It's not something that we often consciously do. It's unconscious. We live kind of a frivolous life seeking pleasure over pain. That's really a big deal. And we're looking at our life thinking, I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to have difficulties. So we're always looking for those shortcuts. We're never looking how to take care of the mind, how to create consciousness. That would require attention to our meditation practice. It would require me looking at my thoughts all the time, going into third person, watching what they do, watching what they impulse me to do. I'd have to do a lot of conscious work in the beginning, and that would, you know, make me, shall we say, divided inside. I wouldn't like doing that. Most people don't. And then you start realizing, oh my God, what have I done to myself? Or what kind of contraption called the human body am I in? And what is it doing? And how is it influencing me to hate or to fear or to even think I love? All of these things people do not take into account, nor do they want to. This is self-analyzation, self-realization, call it what you want, I don't know. Until I am willing to go into third person and observe, watch, just watch. Watch how my affections turn and defect to, shall we say, hatred very quickly when I'm not getting what I want. With all of this being said, Larry, how do I become merciful to people I hate? You would have to transcend the whole idea of hatred first. You would have to give up hatred. And the only way to give that up is to see how it accumulates within you and then to step back from it. And even though you feel this great emotional surge to dislike or hate someone for what you think they've done, you would have to realize what that really is and not get involved. And that's going to be a very difficult thing for you to do. It's a very difficult thing for most people to do. In fact, they won't do it. So there's the problem. We know not what we do. We know not what we do. And that is a very true statement. And the worst part is we don't care. So until you care about the level of your hatred, why you hate, until you're willing to understand it, there's no quick fix. You're going to have to immerse yourself in a process where you come to terms with your hatred and see it as a biological thing and not a mental and emotional thing first. Once you understand the biology of hate, once you understand the way it works, then things will change. But that's a whole other story that I don't have time for. Thank you for your question, Larry, and thank you for listening to Aspire. I appreciate all your kind words and about the TV program, and please forgive me. Namaste. Last question. This is from Lauren. Lauren does not tell me where she lives. What do I get for being merciful? Lauren, I don't know if you're a millennial or what, but everybody wants to know, what am I going to get? If I meditate, if I work on myself, what am I going to get? Everybody's concerned with what they're going to get. What are the rewards? Why do it? Is it a waste of time? Things like that. It's never a waste of time to see what your body has made of you, what your body and mind are creating constantly within you. It's never a waste of time, ever. Because once you get a hold of that, you really realize that, you can make significant changes. But to sit there and do that, thinking what's in it for me, is not going to give you a clear picture. Because the selfishness, the pride, the vanity gets involved, and before you know it, that's all you have is pride, vanity, and selfishness. So, what's in it for you? Well, Jesus said it this way, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You will be given a merciful life. You will be forgiven. You will find doors opening within you. And these doors that open within you are for awakening. You will find that your awakening opens up all sorts of doors, both inwardly and outwardly. And you will no longer be entrenched in your own hatred, drowning in the quicksand of your own emotionality. You will start to see things as they are. You won't mistake the false for the true and the true for the false, as the Buddha said. But until you are willing to take a deep look at the mechanism of your hatred, the mechanism of your anger, the mechanism of your fear, until you are willing to see how you love and hate and how love and hate, humanly speaking, are the same coin, just different parts of that coin, but still only a nickel, the bull and the Indian on the nickel, until you're willing to see that, nothing much is going to happen. It's just going to be theory, intellectual precept, concept, and philosophy. And that's what most people wanted. What philosophy can I adopt to make this all go away? And there just is no philosophy to make it all go away. That's not the point of it all. The point is to see the source of all of this, why it's there, and to let it go. I gotta go. Speaking of let it go, hope that helped you. Thank you, Lauren, for your question, and please forgive me. Namaste. Okay, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. If you have any questions, you know, you can always reach me at greg@aspire.org. That's Greg at Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. Thanks for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.